it. It's impossible to do anything right now. So in 2008, as we know it, the mortgage industry, financial industry collapsed.
All right, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have a pretty face. Yeah, she's going to be our first lady on this series, and I'm excited. I've been working to get this done. For some reason, the ladies, maybe they shine away or something like that. I've actually consulted a few people that are creating a lot of success out there, because why do we do this? We want to share the story to inspire people, to let them know that it's possible no matter where. But we're going to bring out, you know, as much as you may think that this story may be similar, they're not similar. Everybody has like unique stories. And this lady right here, she's a fantastic example of something I've been taking advantage of for the past 10 years. When you have a good woman right next to you, it's just powerful. And if you don't, we'll keep praying for you. You know, if you don't have a good woman next to you, if you don't have a good support system, let me just say support system, because people have different type of support system in what they do. But her and her husband has gone in the last 4 years alone from struggling in their business, multiple different business ventures, to millions of dollars in production and sales right now. So it's just the right timing for her to come on, and I'm excited to have her share her story in her own words with you. Without any further ado, Anna Zugarev.
Hey, Ola, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and especially being the first lady interviewed on your show. I'm excited. So definitely. Thank you for that. I'm truly honored, so thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You're opening the doors for a lot of people, because a lot of people will get a little more comfortable. I have a few in the lineup already. We got some really good people, some Nicole Cooper, some great people from real estate as well, so that will be sharing some of their tips over the next few weeks here. But yes, you're the first, so thank you so much for honoring the invitation.
Yay, I'm excited to be first in line ahead of Nicole Cooper and so many others that I'm sure you have not mentioned to me yet. And I'm sure I can recommend few more of my good buddies that I've became, you know, tremendous friends with, who are succeeding in this industry, who would love to be interviewed by you. Come on. It's exciting. It's always good to, you know, inspire others by your actions and inspire others, maybe because first and foremost, they don't know any other way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So unless they hear it, and you know the connections you might have, I might not have, or vice versa. So it's always good to have someone else's perspective.
Absolutely. And it's kind of sad that a lot of people don't get that. We're in a sharing economy, and you know, the more you share, actually, the bigger you get now.
Well, there's a quote for that: the more you give away, the more you get to keep. That was the best quote I remember from the day my husband entered our house, and he said, "That's it, honey, this is what we're doing." And the quote that resonated with me the most is he would say, you know, what you give away, you get to keep. What you give away, you get to keep, and it is absolutely true.
We're going to get into all of that, right? Here's what I want to ask you first. You know, we know a little about the story of your husband, Alex, who was very gracious to share his story with us over the past few weeks here. But what's your story with meeting Alex? How did that happen?
I have a story to tell. Oh, yeah.
Now, so let's go.
How much time do we have?
give me 3 to 5 minutes version of it.
Okay. All right. So first of all, Alex and I both immigrants to America. We came into United States as immigrants with our families, and we met here in 1993. That was the original meeting that when I met my husband, and I met him through a mutual friend who I've met in high school. So, but somehow, some way, our path went separate ways from 1993 until the next time I met him was 1996. My best friend was getting married. And funny story is, her mother and his mother used to work in the same place for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I'm telling you, the world is a small place.
It is.
So, yeah. So she then was getting married in 1996. And obviously, I was part of her wedding, and he came to the wedding. That's when we met, and that's when her mother, my best friend's mother, and his mother decided to somehow introduce us. It was not a prearranged marriage, because I personally don't believe in that.
But okay.
My mindset is way more free than any of that crap that, you know.
For your mom to hook you up, right?
Yeah, that those third world countries still believe and still do,
right.
You know.
Right.
I don't believe in pushing someone else do something they don't want to do. So, needless to say, we have a dance in 1996 wedding, and then we are once again went our separate ways. 1 year passes by. He calls me up. We go out for like two or three dates, and then he disappears.
And that was it. They asked you to marry him.
No, exactly. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So that was 97. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he disappeared out of my life, and that was that. 2 years passed by. In 1999, he calls me again. That's when we started to date. We dated 3 months. For 3 months, we dated it until he proposed to me. And then we went to City Hall.
Okay.
Both being laid off. We were jobless, completely jobless. It was the summer of 1999. We decided to get married. We went to the City Hall. We signed our paper. We were dressed as is. There was no white, nothing. It was just like, you know, bada bing, bada boom.
Wow.
And in February of 2000, this is when we had the official wedding. You know, we had the celebration. We had people come in. And that's when we count the day of our wedding, February 19, 2000. So that's how everything
February 2000.
Yep, February 2000. That's when the official ceremony happened.
Nice. And you guys have two kids now, right?
Yes, we have two kids. We played around for 7 years until we had our kids.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we played and we struggled to have kids. It was a little bit of both. So in 2007, I have my first daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed home for 10 months. And at the time, from 1998 until 2007, I was working in the mortgage industry. I was not doing sales, even though I was doing them as well, but my main role and responsibility was doing underwriting.
Okay.
So that's what I was doing for all those almost 10 years.
Oh, wow. So you're pretty familiar with the mortgage industry, man.
Very much so. And I was doing some sales as well on the side, you know. When people come to their mortgages, you know, like this, 1, 2, 3.
That is interesting. That's actually very interesting. I was underwriting. It's a big part of what I do.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm also involved in real estate investing. So I've had to deal with underwriters that I don't get to see, but they call me. I call them.
Of course.
I try to put the paperwork together. And
that's part of the deal. That is part of the deal to get that shit done. I'm sorry.
I know. How does that feel to be in that seat where it's all?
Well, the most important tip I could give to anyone who's watching who is part of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
The more paperwork you submit it, the faster your deal will close. That's it. End of story. That is the best tip I could give to anyone.
Okay. So it's not a matter of if it's going to close or not. If it's going to close or not depends on the qualification. But as far as speed of closing depends on
Officer, for the loan officer or for the salesperson who is bringing the deal and who's speaking directly with the clients, the more information he or she has,
mm-hmm.
the easier will be to put this deal together.
Right.
So when you have people that are looking to have a mortgage or to buy a property, whether you're a salesperson on a real estate end or on the mortgage end, you need to know the story.
Yeah.
As we know, story sells, okay?
Right.
It goes anywhere.
As an investor, as a realtor, as buyer, seller, all of that, you're going to have to deal with an underwriter at some point.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just hear stories, you know, the bad part of stories about, you know, what's going on, they try to get people don't pick up the phone. The loan officer is busy trying to get another client or other clients, and you're worried. All is right. Your bills going to close or not?
Like I said, mm-hmm. what story you're going to present to them to review on the
right, to review. Right.
You got to present the more the merrier. The more the merrier. You got to know the whole story. You have to know where they come from. What did they do for a living? How did this happen? You got to analyze, and you got to become underwriter yourself to analyze the whole scenario.
Absolutely.
You can fit that scenario to the best possible deal for these people. And
now, as an underwriter, it absolutely depends on you if the deal is going to close or not. Once you sign it, that's it. It goes in, right? It goes into
you put your name under pretty much, you know.
Under pretty much. Okay.
That's nice. Why the due diligence of verifying process of who is buying whatever property it may be. It is so crucial. It is so crucial.
Because I've reviewed the appraisers and
everything. You pretty much learned the whole entire life story of these people, financial
that
story.
Person. Yeah.
So, yeah, so from 1998 until 2007, I worked and gained tremendous amount of experience in the mortgage industry. And then, as we know it, in 2008, you know, mm-hmm. by the time I was already 10 months later looking to get back into work,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm seeing on the news, this bank closed, this place closed, and I'm getting, you know, I'm speaking to a lot of friends in my neighborhood who are in the same industry back in those days, because that industry was really like hotcakes. So I'm speaking to a lot of people, and they telling me like, that's it. It's impossible to do anything right now. So as we know it, the mortgage industry, financial industry collapsed.
Right.
It's impossible to go back to. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Let me not worry about this.
Uh-huh.
Let me change my resume.
Right.
Okay. I got skills. I got brains. I changed my resume on the job that I was looking to get. And I said, that's it. I don't want to work for any small broker companies anymore. I don't want to work for people that they like appreciate you, but they cannot pay you enough money.
No, they could never anyway.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what, let me go and find myself working for a bank.
Okay.
Or a corporate company. So I revamped my resume and I happened to find a job working for Bank of America. Human resources out of all the places. And the department I was supporting doing administrative work is leadership and development. Hola. Out of everything. Our business is based on leadership and
development. I think God is trying to tell you something.
Exactly.
It
was preparing me
from the beginning.
From the very beginning. Exactly. There are signs everywhere. So I, like you said, God had a plan for me to be working in the mortgage industry and to gain people skills. Then it had me working in a bank institution, working not directly with people, but working with high-end brokers, like Merrill Lynch brokers. This is the people that we were supporting. And basically, when people that have corporate jobs, they have two yearly reviews. They have a year review with their manager, and they have an annual review with their manager of qualifying their skills, whether they meet their responsibilities or not. So this was my job, is to make sure, I mean, there was a lot more to it, but that was my job, you know, building the organizational structure, depending on how our team operated and whatnot. So I worked for Bank of America / Merrill Lynch for 5 years.
Wow.
I had my son. We had our son in 2011.
Okay.
And I stayed home for 6 months as in a maternity leave. I came back to the job, but to a different manager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then my position was eliminated. It was eliminated because that department was no longer existing.
Wow. But
the way it works in the corporate industry, if you take a 3-month leave, your job and your position is guaranteed.
It's safe.
If you take 6 months leave, your job is safe, but your position at the same place is not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. Right.
So I was willing and able to take a leap of faith because, again, staying home for 3 months, let me tell you something, it's not enough. Even 6 months is not enough to leave your 6-month-old baby on the care of someone else, even though it was my mother who was taking care of the kids. It was breaking my heart.
But that's the reality of a lot of people.
That is exactly right. So when my position was eliminated into June of 2012, my husband, Alex Zubarov, who was already involved in the network marketing industry from 2008, said to me, "Honey, don't worry. You stay home. You take care of the babies. We'll figure something out." And right. September of 2012, I go and I travel with my husband to my very first network marketing.
What city was that?
San Diego.
San Diego.
I think, right. Were you there?
No, I haven't been to the West, not for that particular event. So I haven't been to the West Coast for an event in quite a while.
So needless to say, before even going to that event, Alex was already dabbling a lot in the network marketing industry.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you and ask you this. When Alex decided that he was going to be involved in home businesses, right, or in business ventures generally, typically that comes with investing a lot of money, that you will see those holes in your finances, right? In the beginning, when you guys are not enjoying the success yet, you're not involved, right? Yes, you were in mortgage industry. Yes, you're working for Bank of America. You're seeing all these things. Obviously, you're working for somebody that owns a business, right? How did you feel from initial get-go when you knew that he was going to be going all in to invest some decent amount of money into trying to become his own boss, right? When you start seeing those O's, what was your belief system like at the time?
I'll explain. So the very first company he tried dabbling with, and he succeeded it at some point. He was working, he was selling the juice. We know which one. Manavi, right? The company that exists.
Right.
When he started working for this company and started to promote it, he had to be going to, you know, hotel meetings. He had to go with house meetings. I did not let him to do any house meetings at this house.
No.
I'm not letting any strangers.
That's breaking the rule.
Dude, if you want to meet with someone, Brooklyn is a big place. There's plenty of restaurants. There's plenty of, you know, lounges and bars, whatever. Do it there.
Well, not at the house, right?
Not in the house. My house is a sacred place. There's absolutely no strangers allowed here. Only people we know.
Right.
Absolutely. So, and besides, we had two small children in the house.
Right.
How can I? I'm very cautious with stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So besides being cautious, I was very skeptical. I'm still skeptical at some levels.
Mm-hmm.
But my point was this. My biggest skepticism came when he was buying once a month, four bottles of juice came in.
Juice, right.
Yes, that was $150. I'm like, bro, why? Why do we need this freaking juice?
The Autoship. That's the Autoship. You got to get the Autoship.
Yes, exactly. Autoships.
Right.
You know? And after Manavi, you know, it was freaking every company under the sun he was joining every 3 months. And I'm like, come on, honey. Come on. This business doesn't work like that. I mean, me. What do I know about network marketing back then? Like, I knew nothing. But still, you know, it brought me to skepticism even higher level, because all the shipments would come into house. I'm like, honey, I'm not going to use this makeup you're buying from me. I have my
face. He was buying makeups?
He was part of a company that was selling creams, you know, for the face.
Oh, okay.
Like, dude, this shit, I don't know.
Anti-aging cream.
Whatever.
He wanted you to stay young. Come on, Anna.
Hola, I don't trust. Like I said, I have a trust issue with stuff I don't know nothing about. If I want to buy an anti-aging cream, I'm going to go to companies that existed 100 years ago. Like Chanel, like Christian Dior, like Lancome. I know not a lot of people can afford that stuff, but you know what? I only live once. I don't buy stuff.
Well, the moral of the story is that's where you were at the
time. That's where I was, exactly.
With regards to network marketing, with regards to even the possible...
Hotel meetings. It was annoying to me that you would, you know, come and you have to speak. Oh, my God. I didn't think for one second that Alex and I were in our position to be credible, to stay on stage one day. Oh, my God. Right. I would never think in a million years I'll do that. Dude, I was never like...
Now, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
What did he do to keep you... because you were skeptical, yes, but he still managed to keep you in a place where you could keep going.
I can tell
to
you
be
right
where
now.
You are right now. What did he do so that the men out here can understand if you have a spouse that's not... maybe doesn't sound so supportive, but they're skeptical. What is it that Alex did that someone can, you know, can emulate and say, do that?
Number one skill he showed me, it was his dedication. His dedication on learning this business. He worked full-time job from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. He would come home, have a dinner, leave home, and go to the car to work, because we live in an apartment. We have a 1,200 square feet two-bedroom apartment. We didn't have an office. So he would go to the car and work from the car. He would have his conference calls, webinars or whatnot. Everything was done from the car. So he saw dedication just to learning this business. Only that showed me and proved me that he is serious. He's that serious. He wants to get out of this 9-to-5 job.
Right.
And only that number two factor played a huge role in my vision and belief was when we started to get paid.
Of course.
That's easy.
That was easy, right?
Once, you know, like...
Show me the money.
But when my position was eliminated and I was already staying home, and I'm seeing these deposits, like sometimes there would be like $1,000 deposit, sometimes it would be a $3,000 deposit. And I'm not talking about deposit a month. I'm talking about on a weekly basis.
In a week. Like,
and my light bulb went off like, ka-ching!
The people listening right now will be like, yeah, my light bulb will go off too. But... Let's slow down a little bit, right? So, before you can be dedicated, let me just share this with the audience. Before you can say, I'm dedicated, you have to be committed. You have to say, I'm planting my flags, and this is it. And sometimes when your spouse, the loved ones that you can't really get rid of, there are some that you don't need to, be around. You need to just not be around them. But you cannot do that with your spouse. Your spouse lives in your house. There are some people like that that will be in your nose like that, and you have to just deal with them. But the number one thing is the fact that he's showing that he's dedicated to the process. Because when you do that, that's almost like you selling the journey. You sell the journey to your spouse. If they're sold that, I can't be like, I'm not going to do anything. Alex is going to keep doing this thing. If they will start bothering you to a certain level. You know, once in a while, they may get ticked off if they see like a big hole of an investment in the account. They may get ticked off, but because they love you, because because that's the only reason why you live together in the first place, right?
That's right.
You have to pretty much be patient through the process when they get ticked off a little bit, but just realize that they are kind of sold that you're not going to leave. And, you know, but ultimately, to your credit, let's not forget, you were supportive. Because you could say, honey, why are you doing that? But you were supporting ultimately. But because you're not all the way in there, you may get ticked off every now and then. But good one, and thank you, because I have a beautiful wife here too who's very supportive from day one. Through all the struggles, through all the ups and downs, you know, high, low, high,
that's right.
Low, highs and lows when you're trying to figure this thing called entrepreneurship out. Now, entrepreneurship. What was your first personal encounter with entrepreneurship? Was it with Alex, or you've had encounters before that?
Well, the first and the biggest impression was the people that I met.
Okay.
From going to the life event. The connections that we've made. Well, the first taste of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Alex only left his job 2 years later while building network marketing company, while I was at home, full time at home with taking care of the kids, mm-hmm. was still grinding his full time job and cranking up on leaderboards. Ola, you know that.
Right. So did he make it easier? Did he make it easier that while he was struggling to try to build a business, he was putting food on the table? Did that make it easier on you?
The toughest part was actually not being able to spend time with him as much as we did before. But I completely understand his hunger to succeed more than he wanted to aim to please anyone else.
Right.
He wanted to do this for us.
For you. It's a sacrifice.
It is a sacrifice of timing. And I completely understand, rationally understand this.
Right.
Besides the point, I've been married to Alex for 17 years. So we've been together almost from day one. Now we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
I need my space. He needs his space.
Exactly. You know, now you're getting too much of him.
We cannot be attached like twins. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're my twins. We're not. So he needs his space. I need my space. You know what I mean? So this is the...
That's interesting that you brought that up. I'm glad that you brought that up because see, for every part of the journey, there's a dynamics that we have to be careful about. When he was struggling and was away from you so much, you're like, you know, you're not spending enough time with me. But now that he's home a lot because he's building a business from
sometimes
home.
Sometimes it's way too much.
It's way too much. And I've had to deal with that myself.
Yeah.
And because I'm so into what I do, I didn't realize I'm kind of like around a bit too much. I didn't realize that. Like, this place where you're looking at is my office studio, so it's a little bit away from the house upstairs. But sometimes I like to take the laptop a lot. I take the laptop, I just go to the dining table.
Because I like to do that. And be in your own space, exactly. Human beings, as much as we like to be around other people for the communication part of it, you know, for getting the energy from others,
right.
You need that space. We need our space.
That's a dynamic that people should look forward to once you have all this time and if you create that freedom that we're talking about right now.
That's right.
Be aware of that dynamics that you need space. You need to, because for me personally, very soon we're still going to have office studio outside of the house because that dynamics of going to work. It's very important for scaling a business. If you want to scale your business to different levels, you're going to have employees to help you with things you don't enjoy doing that still needs to get done in business.
That's right.
And even if you don't have to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you still show up, you come to the office. And so I still, you know, because people get delusional about the idea of home business. They think, oh, we'll just be at home and do nothing. No, you're not. You're just going to be spending time doing only the things you love to do.
Funny you say that, but it is harder. It is harder to work from home versus elsewhere. Because at home, you're at your comfort zone. You pretty much used to do whatever you want to do at whatever basis.
Right.
But working at the corporate company,
mm-hmm.
is they did allow me to work from home
right.
a week. And let me tell you something. I was glued to the computer. Yes, I don't have to dress up. Yes, maybe I don't have to put the makeup on. Yes, I don't have to take the crazy freaking train, which I hate still to the day. Take the train to the city back and forth. We live in Brooklyn, you know that.
Right.
It takes us 40 minutes one way to get to the city.
Right.
And being stuck to people that strangers that sit next to you. It baffles me. I hate public transportation. So, needless to say, working from home, you gotta be self-starter. You gotta be go-getter. You need to get the shit rolling like that, you know?
Yeah. Right.
There's nobody here to tell you but yourself to sit down next to your computer and start growing.
Start working, right. No matter how many distractions. If you have kids, especially as a woman, you're gonna have distractions.
That's why I'm blessed to tell you that my kids, and I don't care what anybody tells me,
mm-hmm.
kids need communication with other kids. Kids mm-hmm. need to learn from other kids, and they need to learn from others. Of course, us as parents, we give value to kids. But I'm telling you, I was blessed to able to send my kids to mm-hmm. a private daycare.
Right.
It costs us a lot of money.
Right.
And still, this is the time where my mind is at ease knowing my kids are being well taken care of by
right.
people that, okay, and allowed me to do things at home and at my business as well.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this question. Funny that you mentioned kids. I got two sons here. And, you know, at one of the events that we were at some few years ago, I forgot. One of the gentlemen was saying, you know, I like my kids homeschooling. You know, they're making money. They're doing very well. Homeschooling. And that didn't sit well with me because I feel like you just said, kids.
I don't believe in homeschooling. I think, honestly, every human being needs to interact with others.
Yes.
Not just your own. It's pathetic. The kids grow up being completely lacking communication with other kids. Like, I understand they have a teacher in front of the computer or right. you as a parent going to teach them. But I'm sorry, humans did not grow up by themselves.
Yeah.
From Stone Age, okay? Or yeah. whatever time being, you know what I mean?
In fact, as entrepreneurs, our social ability is a big part of what we do.
Thank you. Social ability, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and the kids, what you put in them in early stages is going to stick with them for a long time. So imagine if you're homeschooling because you somehow don't believe in the system. The system, you're right. What the babies get out of the system is not necessarily the education. We will educate them. What they get is the ability to be able to socialize with other kids. Yes, they will pick up a few things here and there. My son, my 8-year-old son, came here yesterday talking about Donald Trump. I'm like, Donald Trump? Where do you hear that from? Because they don't watch TV with us. I'm like, where do you hear that? Well, in school? I was like, oh, in school, there are some things they learn from each other. There are some other things that they learn from their teachers. But the whole experience as a whole, especially in the social aspect of it, is very, very important. So thank you for being here.
Yes, my pleasure. Yeah, to each his own. To each his own.
To each his own, right? To each his own, absolutely, all day long. Let live and let live, right? Yeah, all right, cool. So now let's get into a little bit of a business talk here, okay?
Let's do it.
I saw your profile. You engage in social media as an expert, right? What's your number one tip when it comes to social media etiquette for a business owner?
Number one, it cannot be number one. Number one is a communication, engagement. Engage back with people that leave you comments. They take their time to leave you a comment on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. You got to engage back. People take this stuff for granted. The reason why my engagement on my Facebook profile, it is so high. It is because people know I will have a communication back with them. It's reciprocity. Do you understand? What you give, you get to keep. What you give away, you get to keep. That goes back again in the same scenario where social media marketing mm-hmm. is crucial to engagement, to mm-hmm. providing value to the market.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
It's funny that you say that because I was, my new YouTube channel, which we're building up right now.
But that's exactly what you're doing right now with your YouTube channel. You're doing these absolutely amazing interviews with phenomenal people and providing value.
Right.
That's exactly what you're doing. And I applaud you for doing that.
Even beyond that, what I noticed, we're building the channel and, there are some favorite channels of mine personally on YouTube that I watch the videos. I just started engaging with Grant Cardone. There's some other channels and stuff like that. So even beyond engaging with people that respond or engage with my content, I go on some of these other guys' content and engage in the conversation down there. Even if it's 3 per day, if it's 2 per day, whatever, just be a part of the society, be a part of the ecosystem in that.
Right. It's just like me and you would be talking live or on the phone.
Right.
Fashion way. And like I'm saying hola and blah, 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 blah. I'm communicating with you, but you're not responding to me. So I'm going to just simply hang up the phone.
I have a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing.
I have a confession. So
you don't engage.
I have a confession. So when I started to build business online, right? Yeah. You know, you see all those gurus and all the massive engagement that they're getting online, and you want to be a part of it, right?
Right.
And you want yours to be like that too. So you're trying to build a channel that has all this engagement, but you know, all the gurus don't get to reply to every single one, obviously, because they're so big. Some of them are celebrities, right?
Right.
You want people to be commenting like that for yours when you're just starting out.
But in order to happen, you need, it's never going to happen like that. It's never going to happen, by the way. Another thing I'm going to tell you about social media, to build any social media channel, it takes time. No paid marketing is going to happen. If you want genuine comments, if you want genuine reciprocity from people, you need to take your time to build it genuine, with genuine postings about your life, about the stories, about your travel adventures, about your business mishaps, or even rants, you know what I mean? Not nasty rants, but sometimes these things happen.
Yes.
So sometimes you just want to, you know, let it out, your feelings. So that's when people respond the most, is to your genuine personality. That's it, as simple as that. If you're going to be pitching your business all day, every day, nobody's interested in that.
That's annoying. And somebody, I was watching a video yesterday, somebody said it the right way, said in a good way. The person said, if you, just think about it, if somebody pitch you every time in your inbox, how do you feel about that?
Exactly. If you put them into spam box.
Exactly. If it make you feel, now, however, there's some other, you know, business model where we do that. But when it comes to you building an audience and an audience that's going to be there with you, that engages with you, the ones that are going to become your best customers, you're absolutely right about that. Engagement is, so I'm glad that you brought that up. Now, the next question here, the sales and conversion, okay? I don't know how much you're engaged in that process in your business when it comes to sales, right? What's your mindset about conversion, about getting a prospect to convert? We know that 100% of your prospects are not going to convert, but a good number will convert to help you make millions of dollars, just like you and Alex, right?
Right, so that definitely would be the best scenario for my husband to answer. But from a personal perspective on conversions, obviously, like you said it, not everybody is going to buy your spiel. But those that can resonate with your story the most will convert.
Yes. Okay, so those that will resonate with your story.
And social proof. Social proof is huge.
Absolutely. Now, you said something in the beginning. You did say, we did talk a little bit about social proof, and I said we're going to come back to it, right? Storytelling, okay? Storytelling, can you give me like a synopsis of what it means to you? And, okay, this is and right now. If you were to orchestrate or help a client right now from scratch to help them with using storytelling, to help them build their business. Now, storytelling has to be used in every business that needs to thrive, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be. How, if you're talking to a brand new client right now, and you have to teach them storytelling on a wide and depth basis, right? Well, how would you start with that client?
Well, first of all, official disclaimer, I'm not anywhere as specializing in storytelling, but in the way that I do my email marketing, and I subscribe to others, highly successful, email marketers to model their success, never a copy. But what I can say is, as me and you speak right now, Ola, is the easiest way to somehow speak to your prospect, exactly. Yeah. That's the easiest way. You always have to tell him how it is. You have to share, for example, Alex and I have traveled. This trip will be the 10th trip this year.
Yeah, sure.
So where are we going? I'm gonna get there in a second.
Okay.
But for a second, in May, we went to a 5-day trip to Disney World with our kids.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. In July, we went for a 5-day trip to Cancun, Mexico. For 10 days right now, we're going to Europe for my birthday. We're going to Prague, Czech Republic, for 5 days. Then we're renting a car, and we're doing a drive to Vienna, Austria. We're driving. Oh, wow. Then we're driving from Vienna to Salzburg, which is also Austria. This is where my best friend lives, who introduced me to Mr. Z.
Okay.
And then we're going to Munich, Germany, where Alex's father lives now.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big trip. So, but not only this trip is a big deal. Mm-hmm. The big deal to me is the Zola. Who in the world, on my friends that is not part of network marketing, they take one vacation a year.
That's it. Two weeks at most.
No, not even.
No way, right?
7 days is the most. Seven days will be the most. No,
right.
Not only that, we have a house in upstate New York that we've owned for the past 16 years.
Wow.
And now this is a fourth consecutive summer that Alex, I, and two kids and two grandmas are staying at this house with July and August consecutively.
Nice.
Okay. So again, coming back to a storytelling in a sense, we have three major trips. Okay? Disney World, Cancun, Mexico,
right,
and Europe. Tell me, Ola.
No,
Back to your disclaimer.
You say you are not an expert, and you just did such a fabulous work at telling that story.
So that's exactly how I'm going to write my email copy to my list. And I'm pretty sure Alex will do the same. We have two different lists because we have two different kind of synopsis, if you will. You know, he does email marketing for DA as we know it.
Right.
And I do, you know, consulting and PR for social media. Most importantly, Pinterest is my expertise, area of expertise.
I deserve the disclaimer, not you. I'm the one that don't know how to tell stories, okay? But what I'm going to say about storytelling, right, I just want to point out what you just did to the people that are watching, right? Storytelling is as simple as we're living our daily lives, you know? And having the ability, especially if you can orchestrate it, right? Orchestrating it is just making sure the cameras are on. Like, you and I have been having this conversation for about 40 minutes right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have the camera on, and we're just talking.
And we have lots more to cover.
Trust me, I could go, because it's all about, it's connected to listening, right? It's connected to listening and having the, and wanting to learn about others, right? So I'm not a talker. I am in certain ways, but, you know, but when it comes to me just telling a story, so I can get you to take action or be inspired, I'm not really the talker in that sense. What I will end up doing is digress too much about myself, and then I probably will lose you. But at least I know that other people's stories are going to be inspiring to other people. It's going to be varieties, and that's why we're doing this show, right? So I just want to point out to the people that it's all about being able to document your life as you already live it. We are all storytellers. Just because we have life. That's it.
That's right. And as simple as 1, 2, 3. Even in the times of struggle, Ola, I can tell you, you know, the way I see entrepreneurship is like this. Black and white. Black and white. Black and white. That's why I have this phone case, because it's a simple reminder that it goes up and it goes down.
Yeah.
It goes up and it goes down. There's black and there's happy and there's sad. This is how life is structured. We cannot be happy at all times. We need a balance. We cannot get paid and make gazillion whatever, whatnot at all times. What goes up must always go down.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You know what I mean? So last summer, Alex and I were struggling, believe it or not. We were struggling and we were living, even though we were making at least $10,000 a month. Again, income disclaimer. $10,000 a month is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Right.
But the life we were...
The lifestyle. The lifestyle around it.
Lifestyle. And we didn't have a fancy lifestyle. We have two
homes. We live in New York.
We live in New York now because they are fucking expensive. And I'm sorry for cursing, but it's too damn expensive, all
right? Right.
So the lifestyle we were accustomed at some point, we're no longer meeting the needs of that. So
yeah.
We are living, I would call it, entrepreneurial way, paycheck to paycheck. So
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so glad that you brought that up because, again, people are delusional about entrepreneurship. You know, and when you're talking about ups and downs, you know, that's why I keep telling people what you get out of being an entrepreneur is really the freedom and self-development, personal development, and knowing how to navigate through the ups and down, like you just said, the black and white. You know, we're talking about storytelling, right? But when you have struggles, being able to tell the story about that struggle will put money back in your pocket. It's not quite, if you know how to do it, it's put money back in your pocket anyway, because somebody's going to be inspired by that because they're going through something similar, or they watch the video after you're now like $1 million above, they watch that video that you shot 2 years ago and they'll be inspired. You know, I'm glad that you said that, because when it comes to sustainability in business, right? You know, it's profitability. You make profit. Great. Okay, what about sustainability? Can you keep that up?
Right? My best advice I could give to anyone, when you at your high, put money away as much as you can. Every paycheck right now, Alex, religiously, we put 20% into
away.
We know this money don't exist. Well, yes. We have a big goal. We want to buy a house. But the house that we want to buy costs $1 million.
Yeah. It's a
big goal.
Yeah, it is.
All right, it's a big goal. Even right now, we live in Brooklyn, south part of Brooklyn. If I want to buy a 3-bedroom, mm-hmm. you know, 2-bathroom, a high-rise condo,
yeah,
it cost me a fucking $1 million.
Yeah, that absolutely. Brooklyn is hot pick right now.
So my goal, I want to live in the neighborhood literally next to us where it's like 5-minute walk from the beach. Right. I don't care about the beach, but to have the
choice.
The choice of having a private house that is mm-hmm. costing me $1 million,
mm-hmm.
we need to step it up.
Yeah.
We need to step it up. So every paycheck, not only, you know, to reach our goal, but just to have a safety net, it is so important. So from the get-go, whoever is watching, I am talking to you right now. If you're making money in entrepreneurial way, any way possible, put 20 to 30% away, right away. Don't be freaking spending that on, you know, expensive cars. Don't be buying yourself shit that you're not even going to use. Or look back to it.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I've always, my entire life, I wanted to own a Chanel bag.
Right.
Dude, that bag, the price of that bag,
it
does not resonate with my brains. Even Alex and I can be making $30,000, $40,000 a month. Again, income disclaimer, we're not typical people, okay?
Right.
What I'm saying to you is this. I'm not ever gonna buy this bag. Why? It does not fit my lifestyle. I don't dress like people be dressing for wearing Chanel bag. I cannot be wearing sweats.
You don't have to do income disclaimer here. We're not selling anything. The only thing we're selling you is freedom for your own life.
That's right.
And whatever that means, we don't have to do income disclaimer. We're making millions of dollars. We don't care. We're not selling you nothing. We're telling you the whole dirty part of the game right now.
Yeah, it's a realistic thing to say because all of you, both me and you know, there are, you know,
yeah,
30% of people that go all the way to the...
I'm going to share something with you know? Right now, I'm going to be just authentic right now as much as, you know, I invite, have some pretty big names coming in the lineup here, you know, and what I've noticed about some of the guys that have been through the ups and downs, and they're now like kind of like it looks on the outside they're just going up right now. You know, when I approach them and say, "Hey, I want to feature your story," right? They're like, "The answer is like this. The answer is like that." Like, you just give me a link, schedule it. It's like that, right? If I can get their attention, right? But those people that have made $10,000-$15,000 per month and they're feeling on their high horse right now, they have this thing where they're feeling invisible. I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
That was 2007 for me. I'm like, you're going to learn. You're going to learn, right? I want to feature your story. First of all, that's exposure for you, okay?
Of course.
Second of all,
of course.
I'm being upfront and saying you're doing me a huge favor. But my point there is that the ones that have made it, because they're so, people like Ray Higdon, like the John Lee Dumas, they are so straightforward and they tell you the truth and they tell you this is what the schedule looks like and they answer like that. I just literally got Norbert from MLSP scheduled yesterday. You know what I'm saying? But the ones that are doing okay, a little bit okay right now, they're feeling already like there's something, you know, or they pretend like they have an assistant talking to you. Like,
yeah, well, that's the biggest turn off factor for me in people. If I see you not humble, even if you make $1 million,
yeah,
that's it. You're done.
Because
I look at that person ever the same. To me, the most important, I'm going to give you a quote. One of my favorite quotes of all times.
Right.
And I'm going to repeat it twice for those that may not catch the drift. Before we know where we're going, we must always remember where we come from.
Yeah.
Before we know where we're going, we must always remember where we come from.
Right.
So guys, don't you ever forget where you come from, where your humble beginnings are. I mean,
it's a big deal. It's such a big deal. Even the interview I did with Dave Wood, that was the last thing he finished with. I'm going to drop that clip here very soon about pride. You know, pride is the number one thing that you have. 100% of the time is destructive, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers would throw around millions of dollars, $10 million, $1 million, $2 million. This is just numbers, you know.
Exactly.
What makes you last in this business?
It's your ability to be humble and respectful to others.
Yes, it's relationship. It's the relationship. It comes down to your relationship with people, and you know. So I just laugh, you know, because I've been there. I've been the one who felt invincible when I was making at age of 25, 26, making $50 million per year, you know, in transactions. I felt invincible because I felt like I could do it all the time until the market crashed in 2008. And for the next 2 years, even though I didn't have a lifestyle, I didn't have no kids, but I had to scramble because something had to reset in my brain that this thing is not for, the only thing that lasts forever is your relationship with people, like your legacy. That's beyond any amount of money. And money is good. And we're not forgetting about money. You're going to make a lot of money if you follow what we're saying. But one of the hardest thing that I also heard from a quote to one thing that's harder than making money is keeping your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping your money because you're going to build a lifestyle. As you just mentioned here, you just mentioned rightfully so about how you spend money and stuff like that. Look, you're going to get there. You're going to see that money. And you're going to be tempted to still spend that money on something stupid. And you're going to make that mistake in your own way. Maybe not so bad because you heard this before, right? But you're going to make that mistake too, right? Because money is a demon and he has his own spirit and he has to talk to you.
But still, like I said, you know, we have ways to, you know, we have certain things that we love to do is to, you know, we have beautiful car that we lease.
Right.
We give it away 3 years later, but it's a brand new car.
Right.
It's about $100,000 car. That we absolutely love. Why? Because it drives amazingly. We love Need for Speed. We love to drive crazy. Alex, Wolf, and I, we love drive fast.
Oh, really?
We love to drive fast.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I mean, you have one or two things you indulge in. That's absolutely fine, you know.
Yeah, so
everyone has something.
Travel, we love to travel, but we most of the time, every 90 days, we go to the events.
Okay.
This is the first time we go into Europe, and last time we were in Europe was 2008.
Right.
Okay? And the other part, we love our house in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we spend our, you know, most of our weekends in the entire summer.
Right.
You know? Other than that, the most important thing is to, you know, to again, you know, to bring perspective to your kids, to value the relationship with your friends from way back. You know what I mean? I still speak to people from the time I went to kindergarten with, you know, I have a friend, you know, who was my kindergarten buddy.
Wow.
Who was my classmate from first through 10th grade, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, he's back in my home. But again, the most important thing is to remember where you come from.
Always. Absolutely.
That is the most important thing in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. No matter how much money you can make. And believe me, in the very first mortgage company I worked for, right. And it still exists, this company.
Right.
Okay, this company would serve to multi-million dollar movie stars, producers, you know, big three-letter title people. Those people fucking have stuck up of their nose. It was impossible to deal with those motherfuckers. I hate it. I hate it. But you see, Ola, with me, which is what you get.
Right.
Alex will never change for anyone or for anything. To me, it's not important to change our values and our beliefs.
Right.
Money in the world, no matter what, no matter how.
And so, I'm so glad I'm able to profile your stories. Now, this next question here, you know, mindset, right? Let's talk about mindset a little bit. You know, the beautiful thing about personal development is that there are kind of multiple ways for you to learn and develop yourself. We could start from, you could pick up a $1 book, literally. You could pick up the Bible.
You know? Everything starts from the Bible.
Right. And you could download anything. You could just be around the person. You could just be around success. That's actually probably the number one thing that affects your life, the people you surround yourself with, right? So you've been around this. You've been out to the event. You're married to a man who, as pretty much against all odds right now, has created that massive success story for both of you guys, right? What is the number one, I won't say number one, what is your, what would you advise people on their mindset? Granted, you and I have agreed that's where everything starts from. Never mind the click-through rates, never mind the lead conversions, never mind the frequency of the different clicks coming from the leads into the sales and the crazy numbers that's confusing the hell out of you right now in the game. Mindset is number one.
Mindset is always have been and always will be number one playing factor in relationships between people. Okay, and not only entrepreneurial way, but in business, obviously, but in people skills.
Okay? People skills.
If I have a prospect that comes to me and telling me, and I'm sorry, I don't have the money, and because I'm fucking broke, and because I am this, I am that, I'm not worthy, and blah, 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 blah. See, this is the biggest issue right there. His mindset is lacking. He forgot to empty his cup and fill it up with new information. Listen, Ola, today is what? Today we have September 13, 2016.
Right.
Information for free. It is so accessible.
Yeah.
Beyond my understanding why people travel to work, for example, those people that wants to do something else for themselves,
right,
they are not willing to sit down and listen to audiobook versus playing stupid goddamn game, watching stupid TV,
yeah,
that brings nothing but negative news, right? Why can't we sit down and listen to audiobook by some amazing people? All they got to do is have an internet connection, and as you know it, Wi-Fi is now even available in New York subway system, okay?
I know. It's everywhere.
If you cannot afford a computer, that's bullshit.
Yeah, complete.
Biggest bullshit you can ever tell me. Because literally 2 weeks ago, Alex and I went to buy a PC computer for one of his digs that he needs to do.
Right.
His jobs that he needed to do accomplish.
Yeah.
We want to Best Buy.
Yeah.
You can buy a tablet computer.
$200. Yeah, $200. Yeah.
Dude, you got no excuses.
Yeah.
You have zero. Zero excuses not to succeed online.
Right.
Any information that you can learn it for free on YouTube. All you got to do is become a best friend with Google and YouTube.
That's it.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
You got to be hungry to learn this information.
Absolutely.
Nobody's going to force you to learn this information.
Not me. I don't have time for it. You don't have time for it.
Oh, hell no.
You don't have time for it. No. As a matter of fact, I don't have time for myself complaining. You know, just talking about some stupid guys, you know, that think they're too bigger than life right now. Mm. Even when I find myself whining too much about that, I check myself, like, move on.
That's right.
You know, I talk for that.
It is not worth it to be around negative people. It is not worth it to pay attention to bullshit.
Move on. As a matter of fact, I practiced, I was listening to a video yesterday on prospecting negotiations, but this is a guy called Chris Voss. I'm about to pick up his book right now. Never Split Your Half or something like that. It's negotiating skills. The guy actually was a negotiating expert for the FBI, negotiating for higher killers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he's teaching his stuff right now. And I was learning some skills, some deadly skills on how to negotiate from him for sales, you know, or for anything. Because it could be anything that you're trying to get. And learning and having the ability to listen to other people and use what they're saying to get what you want, right? Even if it's a win-win, it's a big deal in business. So I was just, you know, so I was trying to get this kid to come on the show, you know. And I just kind of threw a question at him because I was listening to the audio at the same time to see how he's going to budge. But I got to the point where it's just about, because I got him talking a little bit. He's just about to say yes. I just kind of said, nah, fuck him. You know, I just said that. I don't want him to. You know what I'm saying? So he probably thought I just kind of like, nah, fuck him, you know. So because, you know, yeah, you know, this, you know, I'm looking at the caliber of the lineup I have right now, and I'm thinking higher. Anyway, you know. But
of course,
that's a way for me to console myself. I learned from the process. I used them as an experiment, right? But you see, the controlling aspect of all of that, as you're going through the journey, is a big deal. In all of that, make sure you're not including whining, especially to anybody outside of your body. If you need to cry and kneel down and cry at home and pray before you get back up, do that. But don't come out here on this street and be whining and complaining you have no money, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's the biggest turnoff for your best mentors.
That's right. Nobody wants to listen to your whining and complaining. People, naturally, people only wants to listen to positivity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a natural. That's a given. Yeah. But when you come and you start crying on their shoulder that, oh, I got blah, I got screwed up and this is not working and this is not working. Listen, get over yourself. Okay, pull yourself together, smack your face if you need to,
like that, right?
Whatever works for you. But you know what? Life is too short to complain and whine. Nobody wants to listen to that. If you want to succeed online as badly as you want to breathe, you'll do it. It's going to be hard, but it's possible.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, owning that $1 million home.
Nice.
That's a goal. Definitely less than 5 years. I really hope so. I still feel myself, you know, being a mother first and foremost, being a wife. That's number one priority for me. My family always takes priority over anything. In business, like I said to you earlier, I love social media aspects of it. I definitely want to grow myself and groom myself to become the best at what it is that I try to promote online. I still don't know which product I'm going to create. It's still kind of on my radar. But again, this summer, I've taken 2 months off pretty much away from social media because I needed that mental break, because for the past 4 years, that's all I knew.
Okay.
You know, 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year, I was, you know, in social. And it's not only Facebook. For me, I'm everywhere. I'm active mostly on Facebook. I'm active on two of my Instagram accounts. Pinterest, I grew my Pinterest account to 10,000 followers almost. Nice. Okay. Nice. And what else? And a little bit of Twitter. And I do blogging as well. So I've grown my blog to a consecutive audience. And I, you know, my expertise is Pinterest, you know, content marketing.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing your wealth of wisdom. it's impossible to be around all of this and not have so much. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. So thank you very much for being here. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I will see you on the next one. Peace.
Thank you.
Discover how to make $5,000 to $82,000 per month from flipping real estate in your backyard, even if you're on a shoestring low budget. No cash, credit, or experience required. Just simply go to www.reflipcoach.com.
Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. networkmarketing2show.com.